Jones Topsoil has been delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, this is so funny. Somebody, Mr. Water 29, just said, shut up, Dell. That's my favorite. He's my favorite listener.
About what?
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
He didn't give a reason?
No, he didn't give a reason.
Okay, then so
be
it.
I just kind of like it. I just kind of like it. He's my favorite listener.
Mr. Water 29? Did he attach a real name to his Twitter account?
I don't know. I don't care. All right. I know is he's my favorite.
Then, before I shut up, stop being a P-word, Mr. Water 29.
Did you call me that when I said that the Astros were going to play to the level of their competition?
No, I said people.
And who was right?
I said
who was right?
What I said was, since you never remember anything correctly, is that people were calling you a P-word.
No, you said.
I will call you a P-word about other things, mm-hmm. but not about Astros. I don't care enough about that.
This guy, listen, he just said, shut up, though. I'm with him.
Well, I'm sorry. My job is to talk a little bit, not all the time, but a little bit.
So this is an interesting conversation here. There's an article on Fan Nation, Texans Daily. The headline is this: Texans camp counting rookie quarterback David Mills snaps. It's a little disrespectful. Ooh, a little bit.
Hold on a second. Who reported this? Because that can get you in some trouble.
Well, no, they didn't even start at camp yet. They're going to. They want to count them.
Oh, they didn't go back.
No,
to
they
the
didn't go back.
Oh, I thought
no,
you meant the previous one. Okay.
Yeah. No, this is the
you
story.
You can't report anything from Key. You got to be really careful.
No, counting rookie quarterback David Mills snaps. His name's Davis. No. You are a little disrespectful. Now, for Cole Thompson, okay, who wrote the article, he called him Davis Mills. There's somebody else that writes the headlines. And they screwed it up, so, you know, it's a little disrespectful, first of all, but it wasn't Cole Thompson. Cole Thompson's writing the article, and it's an interesting question, how the Texans are going to approach that. You've got Tyrod Taylor, who is new, Tyrod Taylor, who's got to get used to guys, Tyrod Taylor, who we're assuming is the starter, right? Are we assuming that Tyrod Taylor is going to be the starter for this team? And then you got Jeff Driscoll.
100%.
Jeff Driscoll has thrown passes in the NFL. I know. Oh, don't make that icky face.
Oh, my stomach.
What a bar! What a bar! He's crossed. He's thrown passes in the NFL.
Well,
boy, I mean, he has starts in the NFL.
Yeah, he had 64 attempts for Denver last year.
Yeah, because of injury, but still, he's. I'm positive Jeff Driscoll has had a start.
So what do you do if you're you want Davis Mills? You got to get Davis Mills ready, right? Do you have to get Davis Mills ready for week one, or is the plan to get Davis Mills ready for the bye week?
I think for the bye week.
I think so too.
It's got to be, not for week one. I mean, look, if it's truly open competition, he should have a chance to start this year. Like
he should have
on.
A chance to start, because you got to find out about him. It's imperative.
Yeah.
It's imperative that dude is on the field
this
year.
But also, if you don't have a bad offensive line, forget the hyperbole. People may try to cry this and that. But the Texans don't have what is considered a bad offensive line. So now, granted, there are some new guys, but they all have NFL experience. They've all had some success in the NFL. That's not a bad offensive line. So because of that, and you do have some guys who have been okay running backs in the league also, like your running game and your offensive and your pass protection do not look like they're going to be bottom of the barrel. We'll find out with running game. So from that standpoint, you maybe could play Davis Mills. Now he only has 11 starts in college football, so he's going to be, that's not typically who you want to start in the NFL. You want those guys to sit and wait. But if you truly have, if you really think about the Rockets, the Texans, there's no expectations of any kind of playoffs. There's no expectations of really success this year relative to the record. And Nick Caserio, I believe, truly does believe in competition. If that's the case, that position needs to be up for grabs too. Although I would still make Tyrod Taylor a massive favorite based on just experience and probably talent right now.
Now, listen, you have to come up with a plan. If you're the head coach, how are we going to go about this? I've been a starter at the quarterback position, and I've been a backup, and I wanted every snap. You know, Tom Brady wants every snap, every flipping snap that he can possibly get, and he doesn't want to sit there and watch the backup. But you got to get a backup ready as well. This is a little different situation in that you got to get this guy ready for not only to be a backup, you got to get this guy ready to play at some point this season. Because and they said, well, we're not looking at it that way. Well, then you're dumb. You got to look at it this way. You got to look at it like we've got to get this guy ready to start at some point this season and be at the end of the season or whatever, because we got to find out what we got, because we're gonna have a high pick next year, and we got to know whether or not we're going to use that on a quarterback. So how, if you're David Culley, do you initially break up the snaps? How many snaps are you giving Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor?
Do you think that's a Culley decision?
Yeah, I do. I do think.
Well, listen, they're going to collaborate on. Yeah. Okay, how are we going to go about this? I think it's going to be both.
This is how it usually works: is the GM sits in, we'll have conversations with. When you have a GM heavy team, the GM has conversations with the head coach. Hey, you know, we really want to get, and it's kind of a vague. Hey, we want to get. Let's get this guy some reps. We want to see what he can do, and then it's up to the coach to make the decision. So I think David Culley, it will be his decision how, from a technical stand, how many reps or how they're divided. But yeah, to your point, Dale, Nick Caserio is going to say, hey, listen, let's see everybody. We kind of know what we've got in Driscoll. So just keep that in mind when it comes to Davis Mills. Like, realistically, Driscoll should be getting third string reps early on in camp. I think, but they may not.
Here's how it usually, this is how it usually works. In college or in the pro, whatever, you're doing series. The starter will get three, the backup will get one, and then the third guy will get one. Or maybe he'll get one. The third guy will get one after 3-1, 3-1, 1, 3. That's.
I think that's probably what it's going to be.
Probably what it's going to be. And then you're not getting Davis Mills ready.
No, it's 20%.
But we'll know this. If that is the plan, if Davis Mills gets more than one rep for every three for Tyrod Taylor.
Well, the question is going to be, I think, how does he get the reps relative to Jeff Driscoll? Like, is there any difference in the reps there? And don't forget, there's a chance that Taylor, as a veteran, may get some rest days. He's a quarterback, so maybe not. But then as camp goes on, it will be. As camp goes on, I know, but that's one of the reasons. Like, he gets injured, too. Like, you're going to have to take it easy because this guy has a history of injuries.
Yeah, probably not in camp, though. But
no, you'll probably – because it's a new team. Yeah. So he probably needs to take reps. But I do think that as camp goes along, you know, at some point you're going to get to a preseason game where it's going to be Driscoll and Davis Mills. I mean, there's a chance they only keep two quarterbacks also.
Yeah.
Deshaun on the whatever list he's going to be on. And then two quarterbacks is a real possibility. So they're not cut. I don't think they would ever cut Davis Mills.
Can you do that?
That's pretty tricky.
That's scary.
But you can
Have Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills.
But you could bring Driscoll off the, you know, you could bring him off the street.
Unless as soon as he's available, somebody's going to snatch him up.
Well, you could also cut him and put him on the...
Or maybe not.
No, not really. But yeah, but Driscoll could be put on the practice squad, too.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's more than likely what would happen.
Yeah, or somebody will be on the practice squad.
Like, you wouldn't put Davis Mills on there because you have to cut him and then somebody else could pick him up. And somebody else would pick him up.
No, you can't put him on there.
No, so you can't put him on there. But I'm getting him ready. Like, if I'm the Texans, the only way that pick is not a disaster as an early third-round pick where he basically becomes a backup by next year because you draft a quarterback, the only way that is just not a disaster of a move is if you at least get a look this year and see what you got. Just see what you got at some point. So to do that, to your point, you got to get him ready.
It's the dumbest pick ever if he doesn't get on the field this year. It's the dumbest pick ever.
Because there's no way you can just roll with the guy with the first, second, third pick of the draft, fifth pick of the draft. You can't just... We're rolling with Davis Mills. We saw enough in practice. That's not how it works. Chris Sims was the all-time practice superstar And then when those games rolled on, and that's just in college.
Well, you're going to get, you better get a good look at Davis Mills in the preseason. That's for sure. Well, we got three preseason games this year. That dude better be on the field the entire, you know, you want Tyrod Taylor to get ready. He's got to play the first half of the first game. He's got to get ready, but you got to give Davis Mills the other reps. You have to see what you got in this guy. 713-780-3776. The Astros off to Cleveland. Thank God they're not home playing the Orioles anymore, because that was just brutal. If you're just joining us, we'll talk Astros baseball on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. 816 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to get in here, talk about your Astros. It's not a lot of good stuff to talk about with them right now. They are in another one of these funks that they had earlier this year. Just playing bad baseball, not doing anything offensively after being so good for so long, and to be so bad. It's unbelievable the roller coaster that these guys will put you on. I got to give it up to Colleen, our friend. We were watching the game, and she says, you know what? They're leaving too many guys on base. I was like, Colleen, come on. They're in a winning streak, and you're worried about that.
Talk about routes.
Yeah, well, she was talking about left on base. Okay, she wasn't.
I don't take no orders from the woman, by the way.
No, she didn't order anybody. She was ordering them to come up with a hit with men on base. So the Astros said, I don't take no orders from the women, by the way. So anyway, she was right. She was dead on. They couldn't come up with hits, and it caught up with them in that series. How many guys did they leave on base against the Orioles? Not last night so much, since they didn't have anybody on base, But we did see Jose Urquidy go out, and that was concerning. Dusty gave us a little update on that.
Actually, Urquidy himself.
Oh, Urquidy himself gave us a little update on that.
No, it's nothing big. I mean, it all depends on me day by day. I will be here working out about that problem, but I think I'm gonna be ready. It's not gonna take a long time for sure.
He's not gonna be out a long time.
That's good.
That's great.
He got put on the IL. It's 10-day. I mean, I think he'll be I'm just going to go by what Urquidy says. He's going to be fine.
Well, he'll be back after the All-Star break, which will be good.
Yeah, that's fine. This is a great amount of rest to go into. What did we say? 16th?
The 16th they come back.
Yeah, so
and then he won't even pitch in that one. You'll go back to your rotation.
He has plenty of time. Yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh.
This comes a good time. You have an extra you have enough pitchers that's not a problem. It is strange though that the bats have gotten this creepy on you, whether you're not hitting or whether you're just not driving them in. They went from a team that was putting multiple crooked numbers up on people in every game to, you know, struggling to hit four in a game now. Now it's one, two, or three. Like, what? How did it literally fall off a cliff?
Mm-hmm.
We had a historical run. I mean, they've got a run like no one had ever seen, and now they can't. And now the Orioles are embarrassing you at your place. You know the run differential here: what, 9-7? That's 2-13-3. That's 10. Well, let's just do the number. The number 9-13-22-5. You got, and I know Rebel Garcia gave up four of them, but it doesn't matter. 13, 9, 22, and what they have yesterday, 5. So you got outscored 27-12. 27-12, the Orioles came and outscored you at your home. A 15-run differential.
Yeah. No, And that's the Orioles.
And I said that Luis Garcia was a lock. Listen, I gave you a lock yesterday with Luis Garcia.
Yeah, that was.
But it should have been. It was C.B. Buckner.
You know what? KJ's the only one that picked up on that, you and your locks.
No, it was. No, I gave you Milwaukee as a lock the other day, Phoenix. And now I tried to lock you up with. And that should have been a lock. Not for that strike zone. Not for those meddling kids.
That meddling C.B. Buckner?
We would have won 2-1.
Listen, Cedric Mullins can play. Holy crap. That dude is a pain in the ass. How he's on that, he must be like, man, y'all suck. I'm the only good player here. It's about time we won some games. He's going to be good. That is a good little ball player now. He can go. I'm thoroughly impressed with
that. A little fella out there doing the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a little guy. I like him. I pat him on the head. Nice job.
You know, that's not something people like. Not adults, at least.
He's a little fella.
Hey, nice job, buddy. No.
Good job, little fella.
Don't pat a grown man on the head.
Well, you do. You say, nice job.
When's the last time you touched...
I'm not going to say anything derogatory. I want to say...
I know. When's the last time you touched a grown man on the top of the head? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But, you know,
I don't quite know how to answer that.
It's considered derogatory, I think.
It's demeaning a little
somebody
bit.
Somebody on the head.
Just walking around
I want him to know I appreciate what he's doing.
Okay.
That's all.
Little fella.
Nice job, little guy. Way to go. So anyway, get out of here, Orioles. We don't want you anymore. Beat it.
After you sweep a team in their home park, do you get the chance for Prima Nocta as well? Is that part of the rules? Did the Tigers get that? Did the Orioles get that? Did the Astros get it in Baltimore? And that's why the Orioles were so motivated?
Maybe. There's something to this motivation thing. Their record against winning teams and crappy teams is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. You'd say all you want. There's something to this. They are playing to the left. They are not focused as much. They are not as motivated as much. Now, Prima Nocta might be a good motivation for,
yeah.
You know what? Except in Cleveland, they're going to Cleveland now for 4 games.
But still,
I don't know, Cleveland women?
But it's not Cleveland women. It's the wives of Cleveland players. They're
not
all Cleveland
women. Like, though.
Well, they're ball players. You hope they're going good.
Yeah, you should be able to go pretty good.
Yeah.
You should be able to, but we don't know.
You want
to
make baseball more interesting? Okay, sure. You're speeding up the game. You're moving spider tech. If you sweep someone in their home park, you get to claim Prima Nocta. You know how motivated that final game would be? Why? Well, you're not playing. What do you care?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just don't think that's a gentleman. Baseball's a gentleman's game.
Is it?
It's known as baseball, the gentleman's game.
No, it's not. That's a cheating game.
Godly, I wish they would.
Oh, that's right. That. Baseball.
It's cheating. It's
decades
baseball.
Of cheating.
Hey, are we seeing the scores last night?
Here they come.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Cubs scored 7 in the first and then got beat 15-7 by the Brewers.
Sally Spinray.
Angels 11-8. Mariners, Blue Jays 9-7. 7-5 Padres, 20-2. The Braves beat the Mets 20-2. White Sox scored 13. Tigers 7. I mean, are we seeing now? Are we going to see now? The Astros, they're not jumping in on this anymore. They just decided they're not going to hit because the Orioles were still cheating. We saw them cheating in the bullpen, right, with the blue glove.
Well, it was something. Something that looked a little weird. I'm just going to chalk it up to cheating.
Yeah. So that's why the Astros couldn't hit, because the Orioles are still cheating. And look at cheating their way to big wins, big, big wins. So I wonder if, you know, if this, they're putting up some numbers now. It's got to hurt the pitchers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just got to.
You can't, it's just for grit. It's just so people don't get hit in the face by baseball.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah, it's not actually helping.
It'll be interesting, though.
With spin rates, and it's not actually making balls break sharper and harder to hit. Of course that's not. It's just pitchers are trying to. I love that people can, and people will default to this if it's their team. Like, no, this is baseball. It doesn't frown on this. This is a known thing where people do this. They have better grip. So it's safer for the hitters if the ball breaks 7 feet.
That was the Cardinal manager. He was, okay, let's see how this goes for everybody now.
Yeah.
Because those guys
have
were
able to.
Have
you seen the hit-by-pitch numbers? It's record level. There's six a game.
No, there's not. Local hospitals.
Actually 0.001 more.
So local hospitals aren't seeing an influx of.
Really? We haven't seen orbital fractures across the.
Only when Trevor Bauer's around.
Reconstruction.
Oh,
God.
No. What? You guys both backing away? This is a radio show. You can't back away from the mic.
We're in sensitive times. I'm just going to back away most of the time.
Look, I thought we were being
got the gavel over there.
Yeah, you don't ever use
You don't use the gavel.
I thought I was being a bit aggressive talking about guys getting hit in the face and stuff. And then you go to, man.
Yeah.
Golly.
I don't bring too much attention to it.
Let's
now.
Move on.
Trevor Bauer, he doesn't have that spider tech.
Okay, sure.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm not saying you didn't get one off there.
I'm not saying it wasn't an amazing shot, Dame.
I'm not saying I didn't see that one.
I'm not saying you weren't Dame Lillard. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'm a whole
half from the logo?
Shot one from the logo.
But I'm Paul George, and I'm going to say that's not a good shot. It's not a good shot.
Mm. I just know this much. That was always a joke to me. Like, these guys who've been pitching since they were the idea that that there was absolutely no control of a baseball and everyone's going to start getting hit now was so laughable. And people actually use that. Like, listen, this is a thing. Players are going to – this is a safety issue. No, it's not. Stop. Baseball, just say we found something else. And this is like this is like the meme with DJ Khaled and another one and another one. You can't stop baseball from cheating.
No.
You can't. They can't stop themselves. They are like a junkie. They're like bubbles on the wire. They're like the crackheads in New Jack City. They're like the crackheads in any real crackhead show. You can't stop yourself.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
Well, are they junkies?
I mean, they are. They're cheating junkies, yeah. Baseball can't stop themselves. Baseball's going to always find something. You tell them they can't use steroids, they'll stop for a while, but then they'll eventually try again. You know what? The risk is too great. The reward is too great. The risk does not nullify the reward. The reward is too substantial.
Yeah.
You get players from poor countries want to get – they're going to take their shots. They're going to change their age. They're going to do what they do. I get it. You get major leaguers who are average, who have a chance to stick around the league and make seven-figure contracts just to be average major leaguers. I totally understand. I get it. Gerrit Cole can go from being a good pitcher to an elite pitcher and make $300 million. You understand it. But just so we're clear here, baseball cannot stop cheating. It's never going to stop. They're always going to have a hustle going. They're always going to have a hustle. It's like Prisoner. Have you ever gotten into a prison rabbit hole with TV shows? Either TV
shows. The
answer
is no.
Or YouTube doc. You'd be shocked, the YouTube channels where they talk about the things that prisoners can do. It's amazing what can be made, what can be smuggled in, what is sold, what is... They have unbelievable, just unbelievably creative. And it's the same thing with baseball. You can't, even though it's illegal, it doesn't matter. They will still find the creative ways. The Apple Watches were just one. That was just one way that they came up with. You don't think they're working on ways right now? You don't think people are still breaking signs and having people in the outfield somewhere, you know, move a glove around or whatever.
So,
come on, it's still happening.
They're
not going to stop that.
They're going to find a way. They invent. Don't worry. There's going to be major invent. It's just like the steroid thing. We're going to find a steroid that you haven't tested yet. The scientists were always ahead of baseball, always. And Barry Bonds.
They were always ahead of track and field until somebody gave them the clear so they knew what they were testing for. And that was just because they were pissed off. Somebody else was running faster. One of the other athletes was running faster. There was a trainer who ended up. That was the only way that WADA had a shot. World Anti-Doping. That was the only way they had a shot. Is that somebody said, "Here, you dummies.
This is it.
You guys are like 5 years behind on everything." Baseball's the same way. Now they're just going to find different places to put the spider tack on their person.
Right.
It's not going to be in the glove and hat. It's going to be somewhere else.
All right. It's 8:29. ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Back to basketball on the other side. Right here. If you didn't see Chris Paul's act last night, it was something special. We'll hear Chris. Well, actually, he didn't want to talk. We'll play that for you. He didn't want to talk after the game, but it'll be understandable. Right now, though, you know who we can't talk to because he didn't answer his phone is John Clay Wolf. You guys are missing out on a John Clay Wolf spot right here. And who knows what John Clay Wolf would talk about? We have no idea. I don't want to assume to know what would come out of John Clay Wolf's mouth today, because John Clay Wolf always comes out with something interesting. But John Clay Wolf also buys your car and pays you more. He is really, really a successful guy. It is unbelievable. Like, he likes to work and open up all these places and move into new buildings and expand his company. That's just not me. I mean, that's, you know what? Putting all that time into your and energy into your business. Why? What do you, for who? For what? I mean, that, sure, he's going to be really, really rich, but that's okay. Somebody else could do it. You know what? John Clay Wolf, relax. Go play golf. Hey, do something. If you want to buy somebody's car, if you want to sell your car, sell it to him because he's going to pay you more. It's ridiculous how much he's paying. John Clay Wolf will give you more for your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
2 ESPN 97.5. If you didn't see Chris Paul's act, okay, rate all of the guys that were in the playoffs. All of the guys that are in the playoffs. Which one did you want to see win? Who do you want to see win the NBA title the most?
Well,
the ex-Rockets.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's, I mean.
All the ex-Rockets.
Yeah, it's Chris Paul.
Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Me too.
For me.
Now, probably a lot of people would say PJ Tucker.
I like the way he operated with the Rockets. It has nothing to do with the Clippers stuff or the rest of his career. I gained a better appreciation for Chris Paul when he was a Rocket. I love the way that he helped the Rockets get 65 wins. I liked his act on the court and the way that he helped James. I mean, frankly, Daryl Morey found the perfect piece in Chris Paul from a basketball standpoint. I mean, the perfect piece. He could play off the ball if you needed him to, and he was willing to act, you know, to acquiesce to James being the lead guy. He understood it. He could take over when he needed to. He could lead a team when James was off the court. He could go get you points, mid-range points, which you didn't have. Like, he was the perfect fit. There was a reason they won 65 games and had their greatest record in the history of their entire organization. He was the perfect fit for that year. Second year, he was injured, and we know he wasn't as good. But then the personality conflict, and he's such a big alpha personality that, you know.
But did you hear what DeAndre Ayton said? DeAndre Ayton said, he is the perfect teammate. He got me, he more than anybody else, got me more motivated and led me to the work ethic that I needed.
If he caught Ayton 6 years in, that might not have been the case. It might have been a conflict of personality.
Yeah, maybe.
But because Ayton was younger and these guys, and Chris found a perfect team, a young team who is kind of a finesse team, meaning they're not a loud, barking, me, me, me team. If you watch him play, everyone's about the extra pass. Like everyone, Booker is willing to make the extra. Everyone makes the extra pass. They're not a selfish team. And he got young guys. Booker's still a young guy. You have Ayton is a young guy. Mikal Bridges. I mean, he's got a bunch of guys who I think are reasonable. Now, I read the Ayton article where he said Chris Paul has changed me completely. Yeah. Where it was also Mark Bryant was a big. You remember former basketball front court player Mark Bryant. Mark Bryant was also really big in the development of Ayton, but Ayton even says, I was kind of, you know.
Well, and Monty Williams, he said too.
And Monty too. Yeah. Monty even told him, you're not working the way you need to work. But Chris Paul came in and has changed that whole team. So
for me, it goes Chris Paul, PJ Tucker,
Capella, James and Beverly. I mean, James is out now.
So yeah, bad, no. At the beginning of the playoffs, it would have gone. I think Daryl next.
Oh yeah.
Daryl next after.
But Daryl after those guys. Yeah.
After those guys, James would be last on my list, I think.
Okay, I'm fine with that. I don't really – Pat's been gone a little while. I don't know. Pat didn't even really hit my list for some reason. I don't think about Pat Beverly like that. Like, PJ was here grinding it out and was a team guy. Clint Capella did his part, you know. Daryl put the teams together. You could argue him ahead of – I mean, you could argue him ahead of – you could argue him one. I'm sure a lot of people would say Daryl won. I'm sure a lot of people would say Daryl last. A lot of people would say James won, honestly. But for me, it's Chris Paul. And he only played here 2 years, but I gained even more respect of what he did in Oklahoma City and then what he's done in Phoenix. It's just like, man, it's hard to believe Chris Paul has had this level of impact now on four teams, where what he did to turn the Clippers around, the way they're viewed in the league, with the Rockets, kind of got them back on course for a chance to win a championship, we know, especially that 1 year. Oklahoma City had no business being a playoff team, and they're in a game seven against the Rockets. And then the Phoenix Suns. I mean, you know, it feels like he's been there 2 years. This has been a 1 year turnaround with Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. He's been there 1 year.
Yeah. Well, he did wonders for Oklahoma City. And he did wonders
here. And
Monty
Williams deserves a lot of credit too, by the way. Yeah. Not trying to take away from Monty or Booker or Ayton.
But it's amazing when you go to a team like the Suns that hadn't even been in the playoffs for 10 years, and you know Chris Paul is nearing the end. I don't imagine he thought with the Lakers and the Nets and the Bucks and all of these and the Clippers, how good they were. I know he probably thought, yeah, we're going to win here. Huh? Really? You can win an NBA title? And sure enough, he's on the brink of winning an NBA title with all of those great teams. Now, injuries have played a huge role, which have played a huge role in his career. So it's fitting that in a year of injuries, Chris Paul is actually going to win an NBA title. But here was he was, you know, because you got to bleep it out.
No, it's the wrong link. It was a different link altogether.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, he was talking to Rachel Nichols after the game. He was a little emotional. He dropped an S-bomb on her. And then he just said, listen, all respect and everything. You know what? I love you, but I got to go be with my teammates. I want to be with my teammates right now. And he dropped the mic. And you know what? That is the interviews immediately after when guys want, you know, they've worked so hard for so long.
But Chris was so emotional on the sideline after, like when he was taken out of the game. And look, a lot of emotional stuff happened, the Pat Beverly stuff. He got into it a little bit with Marcus Morris. He and Boogie Cousins were yelling at each other. It was getting a little bit volatile. You could feel it in the fourth. And Chris was on a heater like I've never seen Chris Paul shoot it like this. Mm-hmm. He was just murdering the Clippers. And he was so hyped up because he was going to go to the NBA Finals for the first time in a 16-year career. Can you imagine this? The guy that's drinking the bone broth. That's where I first heard about that from. The bone broth, that was his meal because he has to keep his weight down to help. You know, he has to do that low-calorie, high-protein, keep his weight down because he knows his weight will go up on him. He's had injury issues. He has to bust his butt. He's not going to be the most explosive guy. He's not a guy that really hangs out and parties in the NBA scene. He works, works, works. For him to be able to finally make it, you could see how that emotion just pour out of him but with happiness and celebrating with different teammates, different fans in the stand. And to catch him at that particular time, you were still catching him before he really had it completely all together. It's too bad, too. Like, I want to look for other Chris Paul interviews where he had time to relax and be introspective, and I'd like to hear what else he had to say because I didn't get a whole lot out of that interview just because he just wanted to be with his teammates and celebrate.
Yeah.
Because I think he likes being with those young guys. Like, they give him life. They give him energy, too.
Yeah, and he's Papa. I feel good for him. That's great. Chris Paul finally getting there. Finally. And you know what? Winning an NBA title, he doesn't have that, you know, John Stockton, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley stigma, Dan Marino stigma, never won the big one. So he hasn't won the big one yet. He's got, you know, one, but looks like the route is getting easier and easier now. But Giannis says that that was good news for, that was a little bit surprising for you guys. I was shocked when he said, no, you know what? It's not as bad as everybody thought. It looked like, and the rumors early on that it was torn ACL.
Yeah.
Usually they're right.
Yeah. Usually. That guy, he's
shout out
writer.
To Chandler Rome. He was right about Justin Verlander.
Yeah, he was. He was. Even though they said he's not right, he's just like, okay.
All right. Okay.
Well, I can't,
now,
wait, to
Chandler
see,
Rome's
I can't
got
wait to see Justin back on the mound this year. It's going to be exciting because, you know, the Astros just told you he'll be back. Mm. He's going to be back sooner. Justin just said he's working towards getting back.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, unfortunately, Chandler Rome was right. But, yeah, Giannis is not playing tonight. So, and Giannis may not be back in this series. We'll see.
No, but no structural damage is great news.
That's great.
We'll see.
Because it would have put him out it would have put him out not only for the playoffs, but a big chunk of next year, too.
And Trae Young is not back either, is he?
He is questionable for tonight.
Man, stepping on a ref's foot costs you two games.
Tyrod Taylor's like, whatever.
I got stabbed in the heart.
The lung.
Y'all soft. I got stabbed in the heart by my own medical
person. It was the lung, not the heart.
But the rib.
Yeah, but it sounds better if I say stabbed
punctured
in the heart.
Punctured a lung, I think.
Yeah, punctured a lung.
Well, or the heart. We don't know right now. Well,
no, we do, actually.
No, we do know it was a lung.
Yeah, that's what they
different.
Wanted you to think.
Yeah, I mean, no.
What?
No, it happened.
It happened. It
punctured
really...
lung.
No, we do know this one. This is something that we do know.
I thought that was just a rumor. But it might have been the heart.
No. What about that crumb bum? You want to talk about crumb bum?
You don't want to talk about that crumb bum? He could be on the move.
Ben Simmons, you crumb bum.
Or not.
Or not. But one says, well, I don't know. I'm not sure that anyone really wants this because...
An executive is already out there saying what all of us kind of think just watching him.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a second. And the reason we're mentioning this is, you know, the Rockets are one of these teams that's going to be mentioned with because Rafael Stone has a background with Daryl Morey, so and they do have a bad contract they'd like to offload in John Wall. So it is worth, you know, it's worth just mentioning Ben Simmons news here and there because there is an outside chance that he could eventually be a Rocket, but I'm not sure we hope that's the case. 8:42 here on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There's a just quick hitter before we get to the Ben Simmons stuff. Tamarion Terry, who was a wide receiver for Florida State, he was one of the he was an impressive player when I wrote him up in the draft this year. There's some things I really liked, and I noticed everyone was kind of cold on him, and you know, he left the team at the end of the year, and there wasn't a lot that was said about it. Then I heard he kind of quit the team, and so I was talking to a team. I gave him a grade that would have been the equivalent of like a third round grade because he is, like I said, he's big, he's fast, he can make some impressive catches. Like, he's a good wide receiver. I didn't understand there wasn't buzz. And when I was talking to a team going through, you know, where guys could get drafted so I can do their projected draft location, team just said, off the board. And I said, well, is it something that everyone knows about? Oh, yeah, off the board. He's not getting drafted. And they had another ugly thing to say about him. And he was picked up as an undrafted free agent by the Seattle Seahawks. Now, Seahawks will take some chances on some character guys, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And
drafted Frank Clark.
Yeah. And
caught it for it.
And they... And they signed Tamarion Terry, and there was nothing, you know, he had a little bit of a, he was dinged up in rookie minicamp. This guy was some talent. And he was waived. And all I could think of when I saw he was waived already was, okay, whatever his character stuff is obviously caught up with them. Dell told me what that was today. I didn't, it got out why they had ended up cutting him.
Yeah, Tamarion Terry is one of 11 people charged in a murder. He's indicted on murder.
Hmm.
Now, this alleged the incident is not alleged, but his alleged involvement occurred in 2018. So this is just coming down. The indictment is coming
down. What year?
Down. 2018.
Well, no wonder everybody knew about him.
No, all the teams knew. Yeah, that's why no one wanted
Florida
to take
State
a chance,
was like,
obviously.
Keep playing football. Florida State was like, yeah, until they bring charges, are you going to keep playing football for us, right? So they didn't kick him off the team. We'll see how if they have answers to that. But, yeah, he is.
Giving a guy a second chance, Dell. And, okay, innocent until proven guilty, Dell.
Now, that would stem over two. Now, I don't know how you keep it quiet, but it's over two coaches because Willie Taggart kept them on the roster, then Mike Norvell did. So that's two coaches who are like, keep playing.
Maybe they didn't know about it.
Okay. Okay, John.
I don't know if they knew the depth of it. They knew there was issues.
Mike Norvell has had some issues since he got to Florida State.
Yeah, he's recruiting pretty well now, but as far as off-the-field stuff has, and well, on the field as far as them actually playing, not great either. But, yeah, so 2018, but he is a nightclub shooting. I don't know if he's the gunman, but it looks like eight people were shot at the time, but they initially confirmed, they said eight, but initially it was turned to seven, or confirmed at seven, and then one person died. So he is involved in that. I don't know the extent of his involvement, but he got indicted on murder charges. So maybe that's – but why would the Seahawks even sign him if they knew this was coming down, could possibly come down? Why would you even have him around?
Taking a chance that maybe he would get off. Taking a chance he'd get off and he wouldn't, you know, because he does have talent. And he's big, fast, long receiver with talent. And they bet on the talent.
Yeah, but
he's an undrafted free agent. It was a lottery ticket.
Big,
for him.
Long, fast talent, and you know, murder charge.
Dusty said, "Told you, Tallahassee was hype."
Happened in Georgia, Dusty, not Tallahassee.
Oh, sorry, you didn't get it lit. It shouldn't literally be lit with gunfire. It shouldn't be when they say it's lit. It shouldn't mean gunfire's lighting it up.
You know, not the when phrase. It's dark and you shoot gun, how the
it's lit.
It brightens
with
up the
gunfire?
Place.
Gunfire,
yeah.
And murder? No, that's not what you want.
Please, someone ask Mike Norvell. Hey, were you aware?
Did you know about the whole murder charge thing?
And if you did, and if you were, why'd you let him keep playing? Anything? Look, a murder is serious, but
we're all about second chances around here.
This one?
Innocent until proven guilty.
I mean, maybe at least suspend him from team activities for a little bit.
Seahawks, what are you doing?
I don't exactly. Why would you guys even take a chance?
After Frank Clark, you're taking a chance on this because they caught it that day that they drafted Frank Clark. Oh, they caught it all right. So there's a rumor out there, speculation about Dame Lillard for Ben Simmons.
Straight up?
Lillard to Philly. This is from David Aldridge and John Hollinger.
Real guys.
Real guys.
Yeah.
Lillard to Philadelphia for Simmons is definitely the cleanest in terms of contracts and positions, with Simmons signed for four more seasons at enough money that he can be dealt for Lillard straight up, Hollinger noted. Interestingly, Aldridge explained he recently spoke with an NBA team executive about Simmons potentially joining Portland. It's still really good, but he's so broken right now, you're going to get killed if you do that. You're the guy who replaced Dame. Listen, you do not want to be that. You do not want that for Ben Simmons. Portland will riot. Wait, Portland's rioting anyway, right?
Isn't it too hot to riot, allegedly?
I think it's cooled down. Has the heat shut down?
It's in the high 90s now.
I think it's cooled down a little bit, but I would imagine.
Who's rioting it when it's 114?
Yeah.
Oh, we can still have riots.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little draining, right? Evening. I guess they wait until the evening when it cools down.
Boy, how about that, Portland? I mean, you can't go. It's a war zone. Portland's a war zone.
It used to be so awesome.
I know.
I used to go to Portland. I went 3 years in a row, and I was like, man, I'd want to live here. This is beautiful. And then it's just been not great for a while.
So I don't care where Ben Simmons goes.
Daryl Morey, this is not the droid. These aren't the droids you're looking
for.
This
is exactly the opposite of a Daryl Morey guy.
Who? Simmons? Couldn't be less Daryl Morey. But if Daryl can get Dame Lillard for Ben Simmons, this goes down as one of Daryl's greatest. Because we've seen him rip people off before. The James Harden trade is his greatest ripoff. And it probably will go down as the greatest ripoff. But if he could rip off Simmons for Dame Lillard?
Don't you have to give up every other draft pick for like 30 years?
Oh, Daryl cares.
Yeah, right. Aren't you going to have to give up every other draft pick for 30 years?
I don't think if you're Portland, I don't think, and maybe Portland's dumb, but I don't feel like they're a dumb organization. If that's the case, you're not going to value the Sixers' first round picks as much as you'd value a player. Like, I'd want them.
No, but you got to get something else. I'm not, if I'm Portland, I can't
may
give
have
you
to be
Dame
a three,
Lillard
may
for
have
Ben
to be a three,
Simmons.
Three-team trade.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, if Ben is fundamentally broken.
John Wall in there.
Now, Well, that's what I'm saying, but here's the problem. Ben Simmons, yeah, and take some of these draft picks maybe, but if Ben Simmons were to become a Rocket, here's what you could expect. He'll be 18 points, you know, 7 rebounds, 8.5 assists a game, and he'll look good. Like, the numbers will look pretty good. He'll play pretty good. There'll be no pressure on him in Houston. He won't. He'll be able to
get him off the ball, make him a 4.
It'll be easy peasy in Houston. And then if you get really good, all of a sudden, oil can. He'll get so tight he can't move again. He's freaking out. I've seen this guy fall apart this year. I can't unsee that. I can't unsee that if I'm a good team.
I don't know that I've seen anybody undo their brand or the, you know, how their reputation.
Deshaun Watson!
Well, no. I mean.
Oh. I thought we were trying to play Family Feud.
Well.
Survey says. Ding. Da-da-da. Watson's brand?
Deshaun Watson is number one.
There's Deshaun Watson. Brand. He's got his hat a little lace deuce. He's smiling. He's helping kids. He's doing this and that. That brand? Deshaun's at the top. Ben Simmons doesn't compare with Deshaun to me.
No, but that's different. I'm talking about on the field or court.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember anyone having a fall off? Because Ben Simmons was an all-star. Ben Simmons' all-star days are over.
Well, I mean, his brand. Yeah, I mean, there's actually been lots of guys that we can point to. It's kind of a fun little. I was thinking at one point Paul George was there.
But
Simmons was literally.
Look at Paul George after these playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you've had moments. Ben Simmons was cowering in a corner, yes, praying not to touch the ball.
Can we think of anybody else that hurt themselves as badly especially in the playoffs? Playoffs.
Well, Bagwell and Biggio kind of hurt their brand a little bit.
Yeah, but not to the point where they were broken.
No. No. Ben Simmons probably isn't
going to be. He's a crumb bum.
He isn't going to be broken, but as it relates to high-level basketball, like I said, anybody can go play. What's the pressure of playing for the Rockets right now? That's easy.
Yeah.
You can go get your points like, oh, Ben Simmons. Resurgence for Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is I just want to know what happens when those bullets start flying again in the playoffs and people start fouling you. And, like, are we going to get that crazy crumb bum?
Ben Simmons, you crumb bum.
I don't know that I would want Ben Simmons here. The more I think about it, even offloading John Wall's contract, because if you get Ben Simmons, I think you're locking into average, unfortunately. And I'm probably overreacting because of this playoffs, but that's how bad, as you mentioned, John, it's maybe the worst that I've seen with a guy completely falling apart. Baseball, you see sometimes, but.
What fan base is going to say, we got Ben Simmons?
Nobody.
They're all going to go, what? What did, why? Why do I have to watch that now? A guy who can't shoot from 10 feet out.
De'Aaron Fox for Ben Simmons? Does that sound like a good trade?
What? For who?
Why is Sacramento?
For the Kings?
Why would Sacramento?
Because they get star power in Ben Simmons, a multi-time all-star. Former first pick of the draft?
So?
Well.
Jahlil Okafor, wasn't he the first pick in the draft?
Paul, a point forward who can rebound, assist, can get you all those.
Great. Great.
How do you sell him right now?
No, Jahlil was not the first pick in the draft. Look, there's some value in Ben Simmons if Ben Simmons decides he doesn't need to be a point. Jahlil was third. If Ben Simmons decides I don't need to be strictly a point guard anymore until I, you know, develop the ability to shoot with the ball in my hands, maybe he decides, you know, I brought it up, a supersized, more athletic Draymond. If he says, I'll be your roller, I'll make decisions out of the pick and roll, you can use me that way, I'll be your point forward, as you mentioned. Maybe there's a spot for him in an NBA offense. But if he still thinks he's a point guard.
No.
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 He's got to change. Or
can't be a point guard
anymore. Or those skills need to change.
Can't be a point guard anymore, that's all.
Not in a half court, he can't.
So we got soccer doesn't start up again until tomorrow, right?
Is that when the quarterfinals start? Okay, yeah.
Quarters are tomorrow. It's fun watching in the afternoon.
That's why the World Cup is fun when it's not here.
By the way,
you get to watch stuff.
I think this is something to keep an eye on as we move forward. But through the group stage so far, the Euro viewership is up 23% for ESPN. ESPN's not used to viewership being up for anything. It's just not something they're used to seeing. So this is kind of a big deal for them. It's up. It's relative, though. For the 36 group stage matches, it was up 23% from 2016. This year's matches averaged 869,000 viewers compared to 707 5 years ago. One big reason for the increase has been the placement of some matches on ABC. So not a ton, but a few. But I do think soccer continues to be bigger with a younger demographic here, and it tends to be cooler. And as more people have a chance, as it's really the globalization, it's you have more access to it. It's much, much easier to watch. And I do feel like there's a group of people, and I'm one of them, who kind of enjoy watching some every once in a while, catching a little sports in the middle after the afternoon. And I think even if you're working, you can throw it on streaming, and it's easy to keep track of something while you're streaming at work. It's not like everyone's working at work anyway. That's China. We're America. We don't work during work. We do fantasy football teams.
Yeah, I know.
We do stuff. We listen to the
That's
bench.
China.
We
work.
Yeah, like stuff. China's got to work. I think yeah, you can whatever. Say
that. I'm not sure you can say that.
He can't mention China?
No.
I can't. Yeah, why not?
Because so. Racist.
China? I didn't say Chinese people in America. Well, of people of Chinese descent.
It's racist.
I said China. I'm literally talking about the country. I mean, yeah, they're passing us and everything. They're way past us and everything, but.
Racist.
They're working.
So when we come back.
I don't
want
to work the whole day.
When
Do
we
you?
That sucks.
No.
Do you, poker boy? Do you, golf boy?
Wow, he's being disrespectful is what he's being no, right now.
I'm fine with it.
Poker boy?
Yeah.
You're not poker man?
No, poker boy. I'm fine
I'm
with
just going to tell you right now, whatever I love to do, don't call me boy. Like, don't call me chicken boy? Sandwich boy, nap boy, avoid people boy. No, don't call me any of
none
that.
None of those?
You're going to have to add man at the end of it. Avoid people
nap
man.
Avoid
man.
People man.
Yeah.
Nap man.
Yeah. Don't call me boy.
Okay, when we come back, who do you think might be starting in the All-Star game for the Astros? We'll do it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.